Broadcasting live high atop the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in downtown Detroit. This is Sports Wrap with the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR and the Big 1050 WTKA in Ann Arbor. That is the Super Bowl champion, the All-Pro, the Lions legend himself, number 75, Lomas Brown. I am Anthony Bellino. Our audio engineer in the bullpen, per usual, is the Danny Cahalan. And good evening to all of you, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, whether it's on the radio, the WJR app, your favorite radio listening app, or online anytime at WJR.com. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday evening at 6 p.m., the best and brightest audience in all of radio. It is a Friday. It's a feel-good Friday, the 26th day of September. Lomas Brown, my friend, how are you today, partner?
AB, I'm feeling great. As we say, it's TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's the official start of the weekend, AB. And then 2 days, it's a whole bunch of butt going to get kicked down that Ford Field. So I'm looking forward to it, my good man.
I am as well. We'll get our opponent
preview. A whole bunch
of what? Whole bunch of butt,
a whole bunch of butt, some tushy, some glutamates maximus, whatever you want to call it, DC. It's going to get kicked on Sunday.
We'll get our opponent preview with Andrew Siciliano, the Browns play-by-play man. You might recognize that name, and you'll a very familiar face from NFL Network. Coming up tonight at 6:40, Danny Cahalan, how are you today for your favorite hour of the day?
I'm good. I'm geeked that we got Andrew. That's that's quite the guest.
Well,
I was
all
shocked when I saw that he's the play-by-play guy. That's very cool for them.
That's all because of you, because you sent me Gibby's number, so I hit up Gibby because we both went to college together, so I played the BGSU card, and the next thing you know, he was like, hey, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, so he was like, hey, by the way, our guy Keith, he reached out to Lomas. Lomas, did you get a message from Keith? Because they were trying to coordinate with you for Sunday in the pregame show for the Browns pregame at Ford Field. And I said, you know what? I'll double check with Lomas. I didn't know I was going to do it live on the radio. I was like, I'll double check with Lomas and we'll round this whole thing up and get this all squared away so that we can make sure that, you know, we can scratch all the backs that need to be. And if you're going to send us Andrew, I can definitely send you Lomas as a parting gift. You know, it's like the three kings.
I got it. Keith Britton.
There
yes, sir. I got it, AB.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. I'll be able to help them out. They helping us. I can help him.
There are people helping people. It is a beautiful thing. And we got a lot to get to tonight, folks, including Lomas Brown's going to join the Cleveland Browns. Lomas Brown going to join the Cleveland Browns for the pregame show on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. How cool is that? We just got that solved here. That's what we do here. We are go-getters. We get things done here on this program, Lomas Brown.
We solve problems. We're problem solvers, AB. That's what I love to call us, problem solvers. And we bring good news. We try to keep people entertained, and that we're in the entertainment business.
I didn't know if you knew this, but apparently the Detroit Tigers listened to Sports Wrap in the clubhouse prior to their games because the pep talk seemed to work last night. How about the boys? How about the boys ending the eight-game slide last night, tying the Guardians atop the AL Central with three games left to play, a 4-2 victory, snapping that eight-game losing streak, that leadoff blast by Jamai Jones. That was awesome. Just, you know, everybody collectively exhaled. They just needed the pep talk, Lomas. We just had to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Nothing changes if nothing changes, Lo. We spoke it into existence.
That, and I love that, AB, and they say that's the power of the mind, speaking things into existence. You have to know you can do it, right? You have to have that confidence. Yeah, AB, you have to have that confidence that you can get it done, and the mind is a powerful thing. So, yes, sir, I think we spoke it upon them. They went out there and got it done.
I'd love to see it. Also, big fella, we had the we had that win, and now they got a big three-game series beginning tonight, 7:10 first pitch in Beantown. So they're taking on the Boston Red Sox. That is on Apple TV Plus. You're going to need the subscription in order to view it. So we'll wave goodbye to our friends over on WTK a little bit later on in the program. All right, what else is going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines. Last night, it was Shohei Ohtani and the L.A. Dodgers celebrating their 12th NL West title in the last 13 years with an 8-0 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ohtani's going to walk away with the NL MVP. No debate there. And then on the AL side, the Mariners locked up a first-round bye and home field advantage in the American League Divisional Series as they beat up on the Rockies 6-2 last night for their 17th victory in the last 18 games. They clinched their first divisional title since 2001. Congratulations to the boys hosting that that trident up in the air, right? That's kind of fun. It's a cool little home run celebration thing that they have.
I like it. I like it. Reminds me of Aquaman.
Oh, Lovis, I love you. The Detroit Red Wings 5-2 winners yesterday in their preseason game, running the preseason record 2-2-0. They got goals from Mason Appleton, Michael Brancig Nygaard. Who else got a goal? Andrew Kopp had one, Dylan Larkin had one, and Mo Sider had one as well. The Red Wings will be back in action later on tonight as they travel to Pittsburgh for preseason game number 3. You can catch that on the FanDuel Sports Network, puck drop at 7 o'clock against the Pens later on tonight. Now, we do have some real, you know, we got the Ryder Cup started this morning. Europe had a 3-1 lead in the Ryder Cup. I mean, it's just a disaster what's taking place here with the Americans. They're now up 5-2, still going on. The Europeans came out swinging this morning. We just flat out can't putt.
Cantlay.
Yeah, you said that.
Patrick Cantlay missed a 2-footer to take the lead in this last match about 15 minutes ago. I about fell out of my chair.
Or can't putt.
Yeah, you definitely can't putt. Well, and then earlier, Rory McIlroy gave the bird to the fans already. So
good for him, giving the bird early.
Oh, now, wow! Also, a little testy, huh?
I hate to interrupt and jump to things, but I'm getting word right now through my headset. We got a very special special announcement. So we saw the capsule that was released earlier today. Maybe you did know, maybe you didn't know, but the Detroit Lions put out a capsule for number 75 here for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And wait a minute, is that number 20 I hear? Is that what's going on here right now?
The reason I would think Lomas deserves deeper consideration is because if you look at his body of work over all those years that he played, you look at his performance against the top defensive tackles, Hall of Fame defensive tackles. You look at sort of where he was, you know, where he would have been ranked as one of the top offensive tackles during his time, then you definitely can make a strong case for him being in the Hall of Fame. His just years and years and years of playing at a top level against, you know, one of the hardest positions in this game. When you talk about having to block, you know, the likes of Reggie White's and guys like that, who are Hall of Famers themselves, and that just the quality body of work that Lomas, you know, had over the span of his career. I mean, you can make a very strong case. So I'm surprised that, you know, it's taken this long. I know sometimes because you know, you play offensive line. You know, it's not a sexy position, and you're not, you know, the lead story in a lot of cases. But yes, you can make a strong case for Lomas.
Looking at Lomas' career, what do you think has maybe been a little bit underappreciated or undervalued if you were to look at his career in totality?
What's been undervalued? Well, you have to look at the players that he was playing against, right? Again, you look at the era of the 80s and, you know, the 90s when he played, and all the great defensive players that he played against, you know, and his consistent performance against those guys, being able to, you know, play in the Super Bowl. For some reason, I think the defensive players do get a lot of the headlines there, you know, because of sacks. I think the game has started to catch up with, like, you know, offensive linemen and this particular guy didn't allow so many sacks, whatever. But that wasn't something that we talked about a lot then. You heard more about defensive players. What was underrated, or I think, is just that, is that just his body of work, his quality work against great, great players in this game, you know, so.
Well, and then last one for me. You know, you had a lot of success running behind Lomas, and he was a veteran when he got here. So can you just kind of speak to what Lomas meant to you on the field and off the field?
Oh, yeah. Lomas is one of those guys that I early sort of bonded with. You know, he, for some reason, I ended up at his house, at his home a lot. We spent a lot of time together. And, you know, I knew that he was just one of those big guys who, you know, he was just a few years ahead of me, but it was just a place where, one, obviously he protected me on the field, but for some reason, you know, there was that relationship away from the field. He had young family, and it was just a place where, you know, I just felt comfortable. So we spent a lot of time together. He kind of looked after me in a lot of ways, you know, and those are like some important times for me, just, you know, fresh out of college, you know, really trying to figure out like professional football thing and really trying to figure out sort of, okay, not just professional football, but like, how do you establish a winner and a winning culture, and that kind of thing. Yeah, those were important years for me. Just, you know, I did my best to kind of reward them as well, you know, for their efforts in doing things like, you know, buying Rolex watches and things like that for the linemen. But yeah, he's one of those guys that definitely kind of took me under his wing, and I was just comfortable being around him. He seemed like just a big friendly guy away from the field, and so we became friends pretty quick after me coming.
That is the great Barry Sanders, after the capsule was released, talked to a guy by the name of G-Money earlier today, Lomas Brown, who put a lot of work into that capsule that was released by the Detroit Lions. And the amount of quotes, what you need to do is go to Twitter, go to the Lions' Twitter page. It's probably on their Facebook as well. Click the link that is there under the Lomas Brown post, and then go look at the number of quotes from the NFL legends in the list of names there in the case for our good friend, number 75.
Oh, wow, man. I did not know you were going to do that, AB. I haven't heard that sound. And, man, it's just, you know, AB, it's just, I tell people I've been nominated for since 08 when I got out the league, 5 years after I was out the league. And even the nomination, even just to be nominated with some of the names, some of the all-time greats, just to have my name on that list with those guys, man, it's just been unbelievable. It's been an unbelievable ride for the big fella. And I'm so appreciative of Barry and all the guys, Kevin Glover, all the guys that I got a chance to play with, but not only play with, but guys that I call my friends to this day. So it's special, AB, and I appreciate the little big fella for looking out for me.
We'll be back with more Sports Wrap. We're going to take a look at week number 4 of the NFL season when we return here on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR and the Big 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor. Welcome back here to Sports Wrap on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR and the Big 1050 WTKA in Ann Arbor. That is the Lions legend, Lomas Brown. I'm Anthony Bellino, Danny Cahalan behind the glass. And by the way, you know, we had the headlines there. A couple more things I wanted to get to, but the most important thing that that I wanted to have happen there was to make sure that one, the audience, obviously you listening, but two, our good friend Lomas Brown, because he had no idea that I was going to play that. I wanted to make sure that we got the Barry sound out so that that you all could hear from number 20 there. But do want to also pass this along. Happy birthday, Cade Cunningham. I believe it was yesterday. He was ranked number 12 in the ESPN Top 100 going into the 25-26 campaign. So finally getting some of the love that he deserves. And the Panthers' Alexander Barkov is set to miss a few months after surgery. Could miss the entire regular season because of a knee injury, which would be a major blow to the Panthers in their quest for a third consecutive Stanley Cup. So some problems down there in Sunrise, Florida.
Yeah, I seen it on that four-letter station a little earlier where he got hurt. I guess he got hurt in a game or scrimmage or something. So I seen that, AB. But, hey, long as they got who? Big Bob in that, in between those pipes, AB, they might be all right.
Big Bob plays no games. Now, we've got a couple of news and notes as we get into our NFL Week 4 preview, by the way. The Packers offensive linemen, Zach Tom, Anthony Belton, and left guard Aaron Banks. Belton and Tom are both out. Banks is iffy for their matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. Circle that one because obviously we've got the Micah Parsons game. If the Green Bay Packers can't block, I mean, Dallas has been bad, but regardless. Quarterback Brock Purdy of the San Francisco 49ers is going to start with the injured toe for the Niners against the Jacksonville Jaguars, so mark that down. The Chiefs will get a boost with the return of Xavier Worthy against the Baltimore Ravens. Worthy missed the last two games with a right shoulder injury after he ran into Travis Kelce in the opener. And the Commanders' Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin have both officially been ruled out for their game against the Falcons. So, Lo, it's been kind of crazy, Lomas Brown, the fact that the injury bug has hit and it has struck everybody early so far this season.
Yeah, I'm glad to see we're not the only team that attracts the injury bug, AB. And that's the NFL. From year to year, you just never know. You have all these expectations. And the one thing that can thwart those expectations would be an injury.
It is the battle of attrition. The best ability is your availability. Now let's take a look at what is going on in week number 4 across the NFL. Now, last night, we had the battle of the Angry Birds, right? The Seattle Seahawks, a 23-20 winner against the Arizona Cardinals. Can't kick the ball out of bounds. That's bad because then the other team gets it at the 40, and then they just need one pass slinging Sammy Darnold. Hey, look, Sam Darnold playing some pretty good football. Baker Mayfield playing some pretty good football. Both of those guys were on the Carolina Panthers at one point.
AB, it's impressive how Sam Darnold has turned his career around, just like Baker Mayfield has.
Yeah, so that was a very, very interesting game there. And Marvin Harrison Jr., really rough first half. Thanks for showing up in the second. Man, he looked out of sorts.
AB, he was the number 4 pick in the draft. I think he was the 4th pick in the draft. I know, man, this is so shocking, especially since he comes from wide receiver U, they called Ohio State.
Ooh, was that some shade? Was that some shade on a sunny Friday?
It was shade. It was shade.
Well, Sunday morning, we're going to kick things off. Yes, I said morning because on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus, because Lord knows we got to have a subscription to watch everything. We're going across the pond. We're going back over to Europe. They might be kicking our tail in the Ryder Cup, but it's the Vikings and the Steelers at Croke Park in Dublin, Ireland. 9:30 a.m. kickoff for the NFL Dublin game. 2-1 Steelers, 2-1 Vikings. I feel like it's really hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers against a Vikings team that just, we don't know. They had questions at quarterback.
Well, Aaron Rodgers says his favorite beer is Guinness. So he's over there where they make the Guinness at. So I think that's going to help propel him and he'll have a good game.
So we know no Jaden Daniels, no Terry McLaurin. Will the Commanders at 2-1 be able to sneak out a road victory in Atlanta inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the 1-2 Falcons, who, if I'm not mistaken, didn't get the ball over their own 30-yard line last game? Is that a real stat? Like, I saw that on the internet, and I was looking at it, I'm like, there's no way. I didn't have any way to confirm it.
AB, they were shut out by the Panthers.
Terrible.
The Carolina Panthers shut them out 30-0. But I do think they bounce back. They're 2.5-point favorites at home. I think they'll bounce back.
At 1 o'clock, the New Orleans Saints, which is, you know, they are arguably the worst team in the NFL. There are some bad teams this year. I think we have 6 teams that are 0-3 right now. The Saints got to go up to Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. That's the greater Buffalo area. They got to take on the 3-0 Bills. And look, I know any given Sunday we talk about it. That's what happened to the Green Bay Packers when they took on the Cleveland Browns last week. There is no chance any given Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Bills are going to bushwhack the Saints on Sunday.
Look, 15-point favorites, hey, they could have made that 20-point favorites, and I think they would cover that, man. Yeah, this is going to be ugly. U-G-L-Y, this is going to be ugly.
15-point favorites, that's a college line right there. You don't see 15 in the NFL. That's how bad. It starts with an S. They stink, and that's not the word I wanted to use there. The Panthers, they're 1-2. They take on the Patriots at 1-2. This one in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Somebody's going to get back to .500. Can the Panthers make it 2 in a row, or do you kind of have to favor the home team here and Drake May and the Patriots?
You know, I just think Drake May is a little ahead of Bryce Young. So I'm going to give the advantage. Plus, they're at home, 5-point favorites. I'm going to go with the Patriots to bounce back and go the 2-2.
You once wore this jersey. It was the New York Football Giants. They are 0-3. They're at home at MetLife Stadium. They're taking on the undefeated Bolts, the Los Angeles Chargers, formerly of San Diego, the Superchargers. Maybe one of the best fight songs in all of NFL football when it was the San Diego Superchargers. It was such an 80s song. 1 o'clock kickoff on CBS. Jim Harbaugh and the boys. I know west to east travel is tough, Lomas. The Bolts are going to bomb the Giants here.
Yeah, I don't expect this to be a relatively close game. Why? Because Jim Harbaugh, I think he's 8-2 against rookie quarterbacks. He has this team humming right now. So I expect them to go to the Meadowlands and take care of business.
Yeah, good luck, Mr. Dart, in your first career start. Maybe the game of the weekend here at 1 o'clock on Fox. The Philadelphia Eagles travel to another one of your teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Raymond James Stadium, fire the cannons. Both of these teams are 3-0. I don't know, though, Lomas. Everybody in Tampa Bay is injured. They've been squeaking them out. Baker's trying to will them to victory, and it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They're tough.
The key for Tampa Bay to pull this out, they're going to have to stop the run. Stop the run, I think you stop everything from Philly. I think they'll have enough with Baker, the comeback kid, late in games. So I'm going with the Eagles.
Good news. Nobody has to watch this one at NRG Stadium. The 0-3 Titans against the 0-3 Texans. I guess somebody's got to win. Well, hypothetically, they could tie. Oh.
The
Yikes.
Texans need this. They
Bad.
Need this. They're a better team. They got to win this game, maybe.
I mean, I sure hope so, because if not, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryan's got some, they got some splaining to do. The Indianapolis Colts are 3-0. They got to travel to L.A. to SoFi Stadium to take on the 2-1 L.A. Rams, 405 on Fox. Can you imagine if the Colts start the season 4-0 with Indiana Jones?
No, I can't imagine that, because it's not going to happen, A.B. I got Matthew Stafford and those L.A. Rams beating them, knocking them from the undefeated ranks.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, great hair, Brock Purdy, and the 49ers will host him. He's got a bad toe in Levi Stadium. Niners undefeated 3-0. Jags are 2-1. No Nick Bosa. Remember, he shredded the ACL, but I'm still going to go Niners.
I am too, A.B. Bad toe and all. I think Brock Purdy's the better quarterback out the two. I'm going with the 49ers.
Ravens reeling off that Monday Night Football loss to the Detroit Lions, 425 on CBS. They're 1-2. They head to Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Xavier Worthy, good to go. The Chiefs are getting reinforcement on offense. A must-win game already in week number 4, Lomas Brown.
Without a doubt, A.B., I don't expect Baltimore to make some of the mistakes that they made against us, and I don't expect them to collapse late in games like they did before they played us. I think Baltimore gets this, like you say, must win.
Bears and Raiders in Las Vegas. Somebody's got to win this one, too. Both teams are 1-2. I'm going with the Raiders.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Ben Johnson.
I hope not.
I'm going to stir the pot.
I'm
going to stir the pot. I'm stirring the pot, A.B.
Say
Give
no to
ben
pot,
Johnson.
People. I don't care if it's legal or not. 8:20 on NBC Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers and four offensive linemen are going to take the field down in Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium, against the Dallas Cowboys that look as dysfunctional as they ever have.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm putting this game on Jordan Love's shoulders. He's going to have to be the catalyst if Green Bay is going to win this game. Even though Dak is playing pretty good, I'm going with Green Bay.
Another game where somebody's going to have to win, the New York Football Jets and Aaron Glenn headed down to South Beach at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida, to take on the 0-3 Dolphins. Six losses between these two teams combined. I'm going with the Jets. AG's got to get one.
Me too. Me
right,
too.
Good.
I'm pulling for AG, man. That's our guy. I'm pulling for AG. Get the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets.
The Bumbling Bungles at 2-1 head to Denver to take on SEAL Team Nix. Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos at Mile High. They're 1-2 taking on the Bengals at 2-1.
AB, the altitude, it isn't overrated. It takes you about a quarter to get used to being in altitude. So I'm going with the Broncos. I'm going with the Knicks to get it done. Bo Nix to get it done. 7-point favorites, too. 7.5-point favorites.
We'll talk to the great Andrew Siciliano, the Browns play-by-play man. He'll join us for our opponent preview. Browns and Lions Sunday, 1 o'clock on Fox. We'll dive into that next here on Sports Wrap. Welcome back here to Sports Wrap on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. That is the Lions legend, Lomas Brown. I'm Anthony Bellino. Danny Cahalan behind the glass. Join us on the horn right now. The pride of Reston, Virginia and South Lakes High School. He's the play-by-play broadcaster of the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. His name, Andrew Siciliano. You recognize the name. You recognize the face. Andrew, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you? How's life? How are things, partner?
You recognize the Wikipedia as well there. I'm doing well. How are you?
You knew exactly where I was getting that information from. You are well read, my friend.
It's one of the few things on Wikipedia that might actually be true. Yes, I did go to Southern School. What's going on, guys?
That's that Newhouse School of Public Communications. That's what that is. That's the old Cuse love right there. Hey, look, your Cleveland Browns, I mean, they made a statement there last week. And, you know, I don't care if they scored all their points in the last 4 minutes or not. You take on a Green Bay Packers team that was bringing a whole heck of a lot of a pass rush, and we saw it in week one firsthand as our Detroit Lions went out there, and things did not go very, very well. The Browns are able to, you know, defensively hold this Green Bay team to just 10 points. What seemed to be the difference in, you know, from week two to week three that you saw that the Brownies brought, you know, as far as being able to stop Green Bay in that offense?
Wait, you're talking about like the Browns defense as compared to the Ravens the week before, or the Browns defense compared to the Packers and the Lions?
The Browns defense as far as stopping that that Packers offense in comparison to the lack of an ability to stop that Ravens offense.
No, they absolutely stopped the Ravens offense. That game got out of hand in the fourth quarter when Joe Flacco threw a pick. And when Flacco threw a pick that was brought back to the one, and Flacco fumbled, and that was brought back by Roquan Smith for a touchdown the other way. And then Denzel Ward had cramps in the fourth quarter, and Cam Mitchell the third quarter and got picked on for two touchdowns. So I would say that game was 10-3 deep into the third quarter in Baltimore. The defense just finally broke when the offense turned the ball over four times. They've given up 57 yards. I'm sorry, that sounded a little angry. Quite the opposite. I'm not. I'm just saying they have played great through three games. Absolutely. The score is totally deceiving from the Baltimore game. They're giving up 57 yards a game on the ground. They held Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry to 36 combined rushing yards in that game. There was a drive in which DeAndre Hopkins got tackled on the half yard line and they held them to a field goal. So the defense has been exemplary in all three games.
Yeah, Andrew, it's great to have you on the show. I think the biggest confusing thing to me, Andrew, just like you brought up, opposing quarterbacks have a 30.8 passer rating against the Browns. When you talk about Newsom and you talk about Denzel Ward, two good, very good corners back there, why do you think those numbers are so skewed on that high side? Because they seem, like you said, they have a very, very good defense. They get pressure on the quarterbacks. But why do you think quarterbacks are completing 130% of their passes?
You know, Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom are both playing really well. Ward, however, did miss a lot, Lomas, of the second half against Baltimore. That certainly was an issue. And I think you would say, tell me if you agree, like your offensive line is only as good as your weakest link, right? If you have four guys playing great and one guy playing poorly, you're going to just go after that one weak link every time. I would say a secondary is pretty much the same. And their third corner was going to be MJ Emerson, who is a good player. And he blew his Achilles out in training camp. It was awful. He's in a contract year. And they've had trouble with whomever their third corner is. Now, they settled on Myles Harden last week, and he played a pretty good game. But Cam Mitchell and Myles Harden both struggled against the Ravens, and that truly was, I'll hate to say, Achilles' heel in light of the injury to Emerson, but that really was their issue. Right now, look, they're holding teams to 37% on third down, which is the best in the NFL, and they're the best in the NFL since 2023. At that clip, this is a very good challenge. So as many numbers as I throw at you, believe me, they know that the Lions offense and Jared and 30 points a game and 90 in the last 2 weeks, that this is definitely a different test.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I was, you know, the fact that the Browns get to the Packers five times in the backfield for sacks, you limit them to 230 total yards of offense. You haven't given up 300 yards passing to a quarterback in 31 consecutive games. That's the longest such streak in the NFL, and I got to ask you, because I'm a Michigan guy, you got Mason Graham there at defensive tackle, and it seemed like early on there might have been some Ohio State bias there, Andrew, where, you know, they weren't necessarily sure what the Michigan Wolverine was going to provide to the Cleveland Browns up front on that D-line, but I think that all of that has been settled because he looked pretty darn good against that Packers O-line.
Listen, I would say there was no bias, but at the same time, if you look at draft night, they went into the draft thinking they were going to get Travis Hunter. I say they, meaning the fans, right? The fans had their mind and their hearts set on Travis Hunter. And then you go, but what if we offered you the kid from Michigan instead? And you could understand, I think any fan base would have this reaction. Wait a minute, you're taking the quiet tackle from, of all places, Michigan, when we already had a line out the door to buy Travis Hunter jerseys? You can understand there's a little bit of a wah, wah, wah. But at the same time, like, well, what if we get an extra two? And what if we get an extra four? And what if we get Jacksonville's one next year? And what if we turn that two into Quinshon Judkins and that four into Dylan Sampson and that one? Well, you could scoreboard watch and root for the Jaguars to lose, and you can maybe go get a quarterback next year. I think then people started to get excited. And then certainly once they've seen Mason Graham play, especially this past week, I think everyone is definitely excited because Lomas, as you know, Myles Garrett is great, obviously, but when you can win in the middle, and when you could win with Mason Graham and Malik Collins in the middle, when Myles can get triple teamed, which he was at times last week, that opens up everyone else to win their one-on-ones. Last year, that wasn't happening. This year, a big part because of Mason Graham, that is happening.
Yeah. So, Andrew, talk to me about Kevin Stefanski, two-time Coach of the Year. Where is he sit at? I mean, again, this has been a hard project for him. I mean, you know, the Deshaun Watson thing. And this, just everything that's happened throughout his tenure. Where does he sit with the fans, the fan base? Where are they with Kevin Stefanski?
I think everyone, Lomas, knew that this was kind of a year in transition. It's kind of a what are we year. They want to win. Everybody wants to win. The idea coming into the season was, hey, maybe Kenny Pickett can be the reclamation project, the Daniel Jones, the Sam Darnold reclamation project. He's talented. He has a winning record as a starter. He did so with questionable Steelers play calling and offensive lines. They really thought they had something. But then Kenny got hurt during training camp, and there never really was a chance for him to win the job. And it kind of defaulted to Flacco, who's a fan favorite, a locker room favorite, and everybody loves him. The issue is then they can't score points. I think everyone knows Kevin Stefanski is a good head coach. I mean, he has multiple playoff trips. He's won a playoff game. He's a bad call, in my opinion, away in Kansas City 2 years ago from playing for the AFC Championship. That didn't happen. Those 2020, I beg your pardon. But fans want results, certainly. I think the big thing here is that Jimmy Haslam, the owner, has preached patience this season. He himself said that this is a transition year, a year in which I'm going to have to see at least one, if not both, of the rookie quarterbacks at one point. But look, out of the gate, you're going to do your darndest to try to win as many games as you can. They were the better team than the Bengals week one. They pushed them up and down the field, but they missed two kicks and the offense didn't do enough and they lost. They should be 2-1. They're not. You can't rewind to September 7th. They lost the game, but I think there's enough here where there is reason to be encouraged, but the offense to get some shots down the field. The offense has really, really struggled.
And, you know, you look at those first four picks from the draft, too, not only just Mason Graham, you mentioned Quinshon Judkins, Carson Schwechsinger has been great, and then Harold Fannin Jr., the Bowling Green product. I mean, he didn't even have to change his colors, right? I mean, brown and orange everywhere. So it works out really well for him. Those four really nice picks there for the Browns to be able to build on. And then, of course, you always have in the back of your mind, there was all that chatter, and, of course, in the preseason and then the draft process, and then there was the Shedeur Sanders thing. Is there as much talk in Cleveland about Shedeur as there seems to be? You know, now that the season started, it almost feels like things kind of simmered down a little bit. Deion had some words last week about, you know, his kid playing. Is there that much chatter about Shedeur in Cleveland right now?
Nope, not really. I mean, Shedeur did talk a little bit yesterday, and that raised some eyebrows and maybe made some noise, but I think what Kevin said today rings true. It's what I said yesterday when some people asked me about it, is what third string quarterback doesn't think he should be starting? What number two quarterback doesn't think he should be starting somewhere? Like, if there, you don't make it to this level without some confidence. I think if you listen or watch the entirety of that interview, he said a lot of modest things. He said, I'm trusting God's plan. I'm working hard every day. I'm out here learning. Remember, Deion said, I've never learned on the bench. Yesterday, Shedeur spoke for a while about how much he's learning and how hard he's working. So I think it's one offhanded comment that he did make. He absolutely made. Not trying to take it back. But I think in the overall context, it's all been positive. He's the number three quarterback. Dylan Gabriel outperformed him in the preseason. And they have confidence that if Dylan Gabriel is the next man up, he'll play well. But they also have confidence that Shador is getting there as well and that his time will come. But right now it's Flacco. And honestly, the conversation with the quarterbacks has had, at least in the past 2 weeks, very little to do with Shador and everything to do with at what point do you go to Dylan Gabriel.
For us, Andrew, our best defense against Baltimore was our offense, keeping Lamar and them on the sideline. We had a couple of great 90-yard drives. Do you think, and like AB said, Junkins, he looks good. He really does look good. Do you think that's the blueprint that Cleveland takes to try to upset the Lions, or at least try to slow the Lions down and keep the game close where they have a chance?
Yeah. Lomas, they generally have to win in a rock fight. I mean, that's how this team is built, right? They're going to keep it low. Their margin of error is slim. Look at week one. Like I said, you know, they dominated the Bengals and they missed two kicks and lost the game by 1 point. So their margins are slim, and yeah, they have to control the clock, and 95 play drives would be fantastic. The issue is they have not shown that ability to do that yet. Teams are playing a lot of shell coverage, and they're basically saying, go ahead, run us out of it, and they have not been able to. So it's dink and dunk, and the protection has not been great, and it has not necessarily worked. There have been some downfield shots, intermediate shots at least, that have been there that Flacco himself concedes they have yet to be able to hit, but they're there. You got to hit a couple of those, and you have to get beyond the 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Andrew, I like to always, you know, anytime we do our opponent preview with the, you know, the opponent for that week, I always like to ask and try to get a feel for what other people think about our football team. What seems to be the consensus around the building there in Cleveland about what they see when they see that Detroit Lions logo?
I mean, they know it's a good team, and they know it's a physical team, and they know that Jared's a heck of a quarterback, and know that you guys have a physical defense that play, I don't say it's identical to how the Browns play, but, you know, a lot of single high, a lot of man. And, you know, they know that they're in for a challenge. I'll give you a national perspective. I think the national perspective, I know you guys know this, was, oh, my God, the sky is falling because week one was bad. And maybe the coordinators leaving was a bigger story than the Lions wanted to make it out to be. It's a broken record. You guys know this. But then all of a sudden, look, they're back. Yay. You know, is last week a Super Bowl preview? A lot of people went, oh, well, it is for the Ravens, but I don't know about the Lions. And they came out of it going, well, maybe it's for the Lions, but not for the Ravens. Everyone knows the Lions are a good team. Week one is a bit of a liar. You know, people overreact, and I think people overreacted from week one. But I will tell you, just making my way through training camps, some with the Browns and some with Sirius NFL Radio, there were plenty of people who did ask, hey, what do you think about the Lions? Like assistant coaches on other teams saying, yeah, you know, I really do think they're going to miss the coordinators. I spoke to Aiden Hutchinson from my Yahoo show the week before the season. And I said, does that tick you guys off a little bit? And it's not like you guys must be sitting in the locker room going, we're not dead here. You know, we're actually good players. It's not like a couple of coaches leave and we're going down the drain. And it's like absolute bleeping lootly. Yes. So they're a good team. They're going to be in it at the end.
He is Andrew Siciliano, play-by-play for the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And, Andrew, we appreciate your time this evening. Thanks for stopping by and hanging out, sir, with Lomas and I.
Thank you, Andrew.
You got it, boys. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you.
We'll see you Sunday. Absolutely,
yes,
guys.
Sir.
See you there.
Right. See you inside Ford Field. There he goes. And it'll be a battle, man. That's a tough defense. This is a tall task in a very, very a good test for this Detroit Lions offense, but because of the inefficiencies offensively for the Browns, really does favor the Lions.
AB, I think we'll get a true test of where our young guys are in the middle of our offensive line. They stepped up against the Ravens, had outstanding game. I'm talking about Graham Glasgow. I'm talking about Tate Radlich, and I'm talking about Christian Mahogany. This is a different animal they're facing with those guys in the interior, Mason Graham. And anytime you get a chance to come home or come back to your state where you played college ball at, you're going to have that extra motivation. So it'll be interesting to see how those young fellas par after this game.
I got the Lions by a lot, Lomas Brown. I'm looking forward to a very, very fun Sunday there inside Ford Field, partner. And I'm looking forward to a great weekend. Ryan, see, you got any big plans this weekend? I know you got some family in town. They going to the game too?
Yes. My brother, my sister-in-law, they're in town. We're getting ready to head down to the casino, AB.
Going down
there?
To
the casino. We're going down there, AB.
Okay.
It's going down, AB. It's going down.
Well, you guys enjoy yourselves tonight. Don't spend all my money. If you're mad at it, just give it to me. I'll hold it for you, big fella. I'll hold it for you. And for Danny Catlin and Lomas Brown, I'm Anthony Bellino saying so long. Enjoy the Detroit Red Wings and Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. NHL Network at 7 o'clock. At 7:10, it's the Tigers and the Red Sox on Apple TV+. And, of course, it'll be the Lions and Browns, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll recap it all Monday, same time, same place, on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes.